Adam, as we alluded to last week, we're going to take a few minutes to discuss the anniversary of the 1995 bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. We've heard stories all this week from KGOU reporters and our partners with the Oklahoma Public Media Exchange, and we've been collaborating with you and your staff for our hour-long documentary. One of the pieces we heard earlier this week from Kate Carlton Greer focused on mental health, and she'll actually have a very similar story tomorrow on Weekend Edition. Your Tulsa bureau chief, Kirby Lee Davis, also has been looking at this, specifically the American Red Cross's response. What did he find?
He talked to Brian Jensen, who was a response coordinator for the Red Cross at the time. You know, the Red Cross worked on more than 30,000 mental health cases related to the bombing. They had to bring in workers from around the nation, and it was really work that they on a scale that they'd never seen before. In fact, the Red Cross is actually still helping about 50 families a month deal with the after effects of the bombing.
And one of the interesting things about this tragedy in particular is it's one of the last major disasters in an era before the internet was truly ubiquitous. Even by September 11th, 2001, just 6 years later, the way people use technology to communicate had rapidly evolved. Nobody had a smartphone on April 19th, 1995. 20 years later, what are these first responders and relief organizations doing differently in the digital age?
Yeah, one of the stories we found was from Bob Blackburn of the Oklahoma Historical Society, and after the bombing, he was looking for his four injured employees, and it took more than a day. They were in four different hospitals, and there was just no way to coordinate it. The Red Cross is trying to help now and using technology. They have a smartphone app called Safe and Well. It helps people say, I'm looking for someone, then the Red Cross tries to find them, you can announce yourself. So it helps people connect, but it also protects their privacy.
A few weeks ago, I was at the Oklahoma City National Memorial and Museum with my dad, who's a civil engineer, and as he pointed out to me, parts of the original Murrah Building structure had been incorporated into the memorial, and he and I have talked in the past about some of the changes to architecture and engineering codes that resulted from the bombing. Your reporter, Molly Fleming, spent some time this week covering this. What did she find out?
She talked to Carol Ross Barney, who designed the building that replaced the Murrah Building. She said it had to seem open, because that's what you want from a government building, but it still had to be solid. So it was designed to stand even if one of its support structures is lost. The idea is that you want people to be able to get out in the event of an emergency. They also now have codes that try to protect things. Parking is away from the building, there's no drop-off zone, and really importantly, the glass that they use is laminated so that it won't shatter, and they've reinforced the frame so that it won't fly around.
So these codes cover U.S. federal buildings, but what about internationally? I think about the embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania, or even car bombings in the Middle East, and the 2002 Bali nightclub attack.
When the federal government builds buildings overseas, they're supposed to follow these codes as closely as possible. But commercial buildings here and overseas don't really have to follow the same standards, and that's because they're not really seen as much of a target. And the perception really can be part of it. There were employees who said they never wanted to come back to downtown Oklahoma City to work. They were fine, especially because it took a while to get the building done because of some congressional funding issues, and that gave them time to feel more secure.
I'm glad you brought that up about the employees' connection to the blast, because I want to ask you, even though your newspaper isn't housed there anymore, the Journal Record building across the street from the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building is synonymous with the bombing. It's now even the site of the Oklahoma City National Memorial and Museum. Is there a special significance that this date brings for you and your colleagues, given the fact that the name, the Journal Record, is forever tied to the tragedy?
I think so. You know, we're still downtown. We've never left. And we do have at least one employee who was here for the bombing. We're proud that we're still downtown, that we're part of the resurgence downtown and throughout Oklahoma City. We've been here for more than 100 years, and we don't plan to go anywhere else.
Adam Brooks, the managing editor at the Journal Record newspaper, thanks as always for being here.
My pleasure.